I still believe through the cold and through the heat, through the rain and through the tears, through the crowds and through the cheers. Oh, I still believe. La, la, la.
Well, actually, do you want to bring it in? Because I was
I gotta tee you up, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome back to the Dogs of War podcast. You listen to this on the day it comes out. It is Friday, TGIF, October 15th. Raleigh is just ready to explode about this last game, as am I. This is the first time we've done this on the Dogs of War podcast, where we wait this many days to talk about the game. If you recall, yesterday we dropped our interview with the Arizona Cardinals podcast to preview this coming game. But for the first time, we flip-flopped, and now we're
changing it up.
Yeah, we're reviewing last weekend's game now. You're listening to this on Friday.
But I don't want to dwell on the the X's and O's of the game.
No.
But there were a lot of weird concepts, I don't know, about
it. Wait, so last weekend in LA, played the LA Chargers. We lost. Raleigh, you were at SoFi Stadium for the game. So before we get into all the nonsense we're going to talk about, I got to hear, Cleveland wants to hear, talk about that stadium, the tailgate. Like, what does this $6 billion stadium look like?
Okay, that's a good question. The tailgate.
Thank you.
So the Browns, I think they were spread out. I don't know if there were a bunch of different tailgates or like smaller tailgates, but the one I was at was pretty kick-ass. It was in the pink lot. Apparently everybody tailgates in the pink lot, but it was all Browns fans and it was awesome. Came across a bunch of internet friends, high energy. The weather was awesome. It was a blast. This is actually fun fact story. I show up, I see Muccio, the guy who does our songs, him and his wife. Muccio lives in Santa Barbara. We're having the greatest time. Our Airbnb is like around the corner, and our wives volunteer to take our luggage. Me and Kate, my wife, just came from the hotel. They volunteered to like drag our suitcases to the Airbnb around the corner so that the dudes, me and Muccio, could tailgate, which is a total
time out. Awesome. Time out. That's unheard of.
I know, right? Turns out
not you, both your wives are sweethearts. I'm not saying for those two. I'm saying in general, for to be in an away game at a tailgate and the wives just say, hey, we'd love to take your luggage 5 miles of the Airbnb is incredible.
All right. So to be clear, it wasn't 5 miles. It was like,
but what I'm telling the people listening is get you a spouse like that. To the people listening.
Yes. Yes. Totally agree. Shout out Kate. Shout out Jamie. Outkicked our coverage, tricked you into marriage, but so it was like less than half a mile. And I'm like, yeah, they can. And I'm watching her wheel it. And I'm like, she's got these two things. I'm feeling bad. I'm like, oh my God, those suitcases, even though they're on wheels, they're heavier than her. Turns out our Airbnb was just in the hood. And I found that out after the game. And
where was it?
So bad.
You're not like in South Central LA. Like it's right, like Englewood, maybe?
Yeah, it was Englewood.
Okay.
Which it was fine, but I'm like, oh, this is a rough neighborhood. Thank you for being safe. Thank you for the people of Englewood for being civil to our respective wives, but that could have been bad. Then the game happens. We go to the game. It's a pretty, long walk to the stadium. It is massive. That's the first stadium.
It's a city in itself, right?
Yeah. Like I've never walked into you walk into a stadium and it's big. They're always big, but I thought to myself, this is the biggest stadium I've ever walked into. And I think they're still kind of working out the logistics a little bit. Like it made no sense where, so our seats were at like, let's say 348. I think that's what the section was. 348. Oh, that's on level 6. It's like, well, why the hell isn't it level 3? All right, geniuses. But they had this big, like, I can't even describe the Megatron. It was like, or the jumbotron.
Yeah.
It's like, imagine if there was a, like an overhead, what do you call it? Like a chandelier. Chandeliers are the circular things that hang above you for dinner. Mm-hmm. A black chandelier where the outside of it is a picture of it, where it's like the Jumbotron. So I don't know how the hell they set it up so that you're looking at, because, you know, it's a giant circle, like a never ending halo. Like, when the hell does the end begin or when does it start? But it was pretty awesome. It was loud. They did a pretty good job with getting the crowd involved with, like, the Jumbotron MC guy. Is there a title for that? Jumbotron MC guy?
So at Wrigley, like the music person, shout out Dante, is called the conductor. My cousin does all the shit at Madison Square Garden. Shout out Caroline. They're just like the head of graphics, the head of media, whatever.
Yeah, but it was also weirdly empty. Not, it wasn't at capacity.
Really?
Browns fans were over 50% of the people there.
So wait, sorry. I heard on the radio, now again, this is the no one saying this was actually at the stadium. On the radio, they said it was 80-20 Browns Chargers fans.
It was.
Is that too much?
I didn't. So every time I tried to look to try to assess it, I kept getting distracted by how it wasn't full. You know what I mean? It was like, you know, there were a lot of people there, gigantic ass stadium, but like in the lower bowl, there were a lot of vacant seats there.
So needless to say, you and I both went to Arrowhead for week one. It was no Arrowhead.
Yeah. Yes. There was not an empty spot in the house in Arrowhead, but it was very loud. And I don't know if it was like the acoustics or whatever for being at, let's say, 75% capacity. And I don't know if that's an LA thing where it's like, you know, they, all these millionaires have season tickets and they're too lazy to give them up to someone. Like, that could be it. Or if, because LA is so cool, like people just don't want to go to a Chargers game. So that was kind of weird, the emptiness of it.
Did you eat? Yes,
I did. And it wasn't.
Is it all gluten-free?
There was gluten in the pizza. It was a very mediocre stadium pizza. Because
for those of you that don't know, LA, everything in LA is gluten-free, and it's all like we're on diets and we're working out. And
yeah, it was
the opposite of Raleigh and I.
Yeah, it was a every time you get pizza in a stadium, it's always like $13. That's way too expensive. And it's like, you know, the size of a, I'm putting my hands together like two loser shapes. I'm like, all right, that's like,
you get a square pizza.
It's like a dollar, a half a pepperoni. But you know, I got the job done. You know what always throws me off, dude, and I forget about it every game I go to, is that they stop selling beer in the fourth quarter. And I'm like, dude, that's when you need it the most. Like, I get that, you know, they're still trying to take corrective action from Bottlegate, but it's like there's a 2-beer limit per person every time you go. If I tried to buy a beer every, like, you know, I go to the line, then I drank the beer and go to the end of the line, and then just recycled the whole game, I'm thinking I'm getting 10 beers max. And that would be like a psycho who's like, how many beers could I possibly buy in one game? But you watch the game. So with all of the limitations they have, let people have beer in the fourth. That's when you need to calm your nerves.
You know whose fault this is, right?
Ours, yeah.
And you were at that game.
Yeah, I was just whipping beers left and right. Like,
wait, did you throw a beer on the field of Bottlegate?
No, it was like 12.
Bummer. Okay.
But yeah, it was the venue was cool, but that's secondary to a packed house, in my opinion.
All right. Let's get into it.
Yeah. So again, I don't even want to talk about the game. Well, nah, I mean, we got to talk about it.
What I do want to say, since, you know, post Hugh Jackson era, we kind of put to bed the whole thing we did for all of everyone listening and you and I, we always had that's so Browns. We haven't had that in a very long time because we have a real franchise with a real coach and GM and all that and players. But, and everyone's seen this now 1,000 times, the fact that we're the first team in the history of the sport to score 42 points, go 532 yards with no turnovers and still lose the game. That, my friends, is how we can say That is the most Browns thing that has ever happened to this franchise.
The return of the Brown stats. For so many years, we've been plagued by these ridiculous stats where it's like the Browns are kind of the laughing stock or the butt of the joke of it. And me, in my naive optimist ways, thought that we were at the end of the Browns stat. My favorite Browns stat was in 2018. That was Baker's rookie year before Baker played. It was the Steelers tie. The Browns had a plus four win on the turnover margin. And there was a tweet that said, of all of the teams that have had games where they had a plus four turnover margin, their record is 156-3-1. The Browns are two of the losses in the tie. It's like you.
That's Browns, baby. Hey, we wear that. So here's, I watched this game as my second game from my couch this season. You've been to every game because, and it's all respect, but you're a lunatic in a good way.
I'm done.
I blacked out. I didn't drink a sip of alcohol this game. After the clock hit zero, I think it took me like 10 minutes when I came out of that like mental blackout. I was on one knee in front of my TV in my living room, dark by myself. And I don't care. It's not pathetic. I wear that with pride. That's what that game did to me. Listen, guys and girls, that game on Sunday, 1,027 total yards, 89 total points, 52 first downs, 12 touchdowns, six of them in the fourth quarter. That was the most outrageous game ever.
Yeah,
that's the best game of the NFL so far this year.
Like if we had the best game of the NFL last year,
when it we was did the, when it was Ravens, the Ravens game, like, we did. Yeah.
We got to start winning some of those best games of the NFL.
We do.
That game, and I think we were talking about this beforehand, there was something that hit different about that game from like a defeated standpoint. I swear, I was arguing with, I don't, the Instagram handle is Angry Browns Fans. Not angry. I think we've made that clear. I don't like pick fights with opposing fans or anything absurd. But, you know, we were jawing with the guys sitting behind us. They were cool dudes. They were like, oh, that's Pat's interference. I'm like, no, it's not. Look at this replay. Like, how is it? And they started agreeing with me. They're like, yeah, that was it goes both ways. I'm like, no, it doesn't. Dude, the refs are still pissed about Bottlegate. I came to that conclusion on the long walk home in Inglewood. But there were so many things that irritated me after the game. One, Baker looked great. And two, somehow.
Wait. Not sorry to interrupt you. I know the national media dialogue the last week has been covered up a little bit. Thank you to Kyrie Irving and his nonsense. So that's a whole other story. But now the focus has gone to Odell Beckham, and I can't even get into that right now. I just can't. But all that being said, and as always, knock on wood, Baker had the best game statistically he's ever had. So, really? Of course, Baker, he statistically lights out.
Better than Titans last year?
Not sure about that. But I know that his press conference a few days ago, they're like, you played very well. But he's like, yeah, statistically, best game, but we didn't win. So it doesn't matter. So, but because obviously no one's going to highlight that, he didn't have a great game the week before, but came out and played his ass off on Sunday. Now, obviously, people are going to say, we didn't win that last drive. The third down and the
third and seven. Baker didn't call a third and seven draw play.
Hey, Stefanski literally said he's like losing sleep over that call. We get that. Dude, came out and said it. Can you and I do better? No. But we can talk about what he said about it.
I know. This will be the most – I've never really questioned Stefanski before. This isn't a long-term grievance.
I'm going to interrupt you one more time intentionally, because in the 3 years we've been doing this podcast and just talking about Browns before and even without the podcast – this was the most down I've seen you over a Browns loss. And it's, again, I was on a knee in front of my television in my living room. I think I can speak for you and myself. It was nothing. We were not ashamed or mad at the team. It was just the whole damn situation between that last drive, between some of those calls. And I hate nothing more. To know me is to know that I will never blame the refs, because if you play and you do what you're supposed to do, the call shouldn't come into play. But for the love of God Almighty Jesus, we've all seen the replays and the pictures. Baker and Miles, okay? Two guys who, if you've listened to even just one press conference of theirs ever, these are the two least guys to ever talk about the refs or anything. For both of our captains, our two biggest team leaders, to come out and be like, yo, that was bullshit.
That says something.
That's not Fugazi. Yep.
Dude, I mean, people are – I also don't like – I'm not here to point fingers at whose fault it was outside of the refs. But I'm like, yeah, the defense got torched a couple of times, but they're also playing a very highly explosive offense. So, yeah, they're going to get their points. But on two fourth downs where they give them bailout pass interferences, like, well – the defense did their job. The refs just bailed them out and started the drive over, except up the field 50 yards. Like, and then, geez, Higgins got absolutely tackled. Like, it was Higgins and Njoku.
So, okay.
And they don't throw it for that. Like, dude, at least you could make the, well, at least it went both ways argument. And let's say the Browns don't capitalize, whatever. But, dude, that it's like,
that last play was the most incredible thing I've ever seen watching a football game. Have you ever, and I don't know if maybe it took you to the replay because you were in the, have you ever, and this is for anyone listening too, ever seen a Hail Mary soar and then hit the ground without ever touching one player?
Yeah, that was also.
Njoku getting knocked down at the start of the play didn't help. But my God, if you watch that replay, to have the ball just hit the turf or grass without one finger touching it, I've never seen that.
I know. And yeah, we got to move on to positive things. So yes,
we have to.
It wasn't Baker's fault. If you're gonna point fingers at the institution, Baker didn't call a 3rd-and-7 draw play. Love Stefanski, but dude, he is human, and it doesn't make sense to me why any head coach would call plays. Like, you have to be able to detach yourself. And he said in the one of the press conferences that he was still, like, caught up in the previous play on the
He was screwed up on the second down pass interference.
And so yeah. It's like, yeah, no, I get that. I would be too. But that's why you need some gifted 14-year-old that's sick at Madden that just doesn't have emotions to make those calls. Like, whatever needs to be done. Like, you can't put, like, that is a mental error, and mental errors kill football teams. That's probably a Stefanski quote. Love the guy.
And I'm with you 1,000%. Credit where due. Justin Herbert's a superstar.
Yeah, he is good. Good job, Justin Herbert, for being good. It would be great if the refs spoon-fed at us a couple of wins, though. Like,
agreed. And hey, obviously, please, I'm not, but credit where due, that dude is a superstar. And he's like 23 or 24. And this is not, the previous podcast, I was making a bunch of jokes because the head coach, Brandon Staley, went to Dayton, where I went to college. So from a neutral standpoint, that guy is a coach.
For sure.
And I'm not saying, please, Stefanski till I die. But Brandon Staley can coach football. Good Lord.
Yep. For sure. Hats off to the Chargers and the refs, I guess. The refs.
But one more thing. People, you know, and we intentionally do this later because we're not getting into all the national and as we already talked about on Twitter earlier, Baker and Odell are what's paying the bills at ESPN right now because they have nothing better to talk about outside of Kyrie. But I do want to remind people listening to this podcast, There are no points in the NFL. There's no style points in the NFL. It's win or lose. And all these people, you know, again, we've said this time in and time out on this podcast. Social media, fantasy football, ESPN, they warp people's understanding of what a quarterback, of what a good quarterback should be. Patrick Mahomes, you know, does two backflips and then throws a behind-the-back pass. That's what he does. That's why he's, if not one, the best quarterback in the league. There's no points for style in the NFL. Just because Baker is not doing two somersaults and throwing an underhand pass to a tight end does not take away from what he's doing and the numbers he's putting up. Let's just be very clear about that. And it drives me insane that social media and fantasy football points is what makes people judge a quarterback. Does that make sense?
It does. He's doing his job, and the lack of support from the local media, it's not even surprising at this point.
Do you guys not, I'm not talking to you, and well, you and I did this many times. Do you guys remember like 3 years ago? I'm talking to all of Browns Nation right now. Whether we're at home, at the game, at a bar, we used to go nuts and buy a round of shots for a first down.
It was more than 3 years ago.
Okay.
But yes.
You used to celebrate first downs.
I know exactly what you're saying. Yeah. I saw a post. Somebody said, please be thankful for what the hell is it? Now that you have.
Don't forget where we came from.
For. Yeah. Just stay
home. Don't forget where we came from.
Look at the jersey picture that's all of the quarterbacks that we've gone through. But yes. Used to go absolutely nuts when the Browns would convert a first down, regardless of context. And I still do pretty much, but it's more with the excitement that more are coming. Yes, point taken, agree 1,000%. So I'd like to transition to what I believe the franchise and QB1 could benefit from.
Yes.
On Reddit, a couple of days ago, a guy, user Georgior Binks, 567, sick username. That's pretty good. Said,
Jesus.
Baker chant. He said, I'm going to the game this Sunday. I'm going to try to start a Baker chant to start the game. I want to show him support. The media has been hard on him. Whether you feel the same as the media or not, if you're at the game, you should want us to win, and we can't win without him. So let's support him. Go Browns. Got a bunch of upvotes. People said, like, giving structure to it. This post, it doesn't have a lot of structure, so I'm going to do what I can from social media to try to boost this little movement. Baker Mayfield, clap, 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 clap. So that's the cadence. When to do it, this guy said, I suggest right after the coin toss, before the kickoff. Everyone will be in their seats. We won't interrupt the anthem or announcements. I think that's a good time for it. And I agree with that. So if you're going to this game, and you're sitting alone, and all these people in this Reddit are saying, I'll be doing it from section 507. I'll be doing it from section wherever. As soon as the coin hits the ground, before the announcer says who won what, you start that chant in your section. You do it loud and proud. Baker Mayfield. And oh, you may God. Be the only one doing it in your section for a couple of iterations.
I'll cry.
Pay no heed to the people that aren't doing it. To the ones that do join you on it, if you're not married and you get married, they will stand in your wedding. Those are the people you want on your side. Do it. You may look stupid. It may not pick off or take off, but you'll know in your heart that you did what you could to support QB1 against the local media, against trash fans, against all the negativity in this world. Do what you got to do. Do it. Do it proudly. And if you're not going to this game and you have a homeboy, homegirl that's going, you chant, you text them that Baker Mayfield chant as soon as the coin flips or as soon as the coin lands, then try to text Baker Mayfield, clap, 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 so that they understand that via text. Tell them to do it loudly. If you look stupid, so be it. Fly your flag, see who salutes.
Enough people listen to this podcast where I can now officially say, do you guys understand what would happen if this chant starts before this game against the Cardinals on Sunday? they're 5-0. They're coming into a very, very hot house and dog pound. If the game starts with a Baker chant, I'm going to be crying at the bar next to you. This has to happen.
Yeah, it's got to happen. QB1 needs it. The city needs it. The franchise needs it. I need it. Our moms listening need it. Everyone, yeah, call to action. Go. If you're going to this game, do the chant. If you're not going to the game and you know somebody that is, you text them to do the chant. I'm not even saying, oh, making sure they listen to the Dogs 4 podcast. Tell them it's a thing. It's happening. Tell them it's from Reddit. Tell them it's from a Brown-specific meme account. Tell them it's coming from above. Whatever you got to do, make this chant happen. I'll be doing it from the bar or my couch.
I just can't. Again, we have come so far from a few years ago, gang. Forget the national media, even though they scoop our local beat writers of many decades, but whole nother story there. This would be absolutely incredible. And you know what? Speaking of our mothers listening to this podcast, this is the most, I don't want to say maybe emotional, fired up we've been maybe ever, at least in a long time about a game. I don't think we've dropped one F-bomb yet.
Yeah, I was going to say, we did a
it's been pretty
good job of reeling back on the F-bombs.
You know what? We're going to drop our 5-minute pregame episode on Saturday or tomorrow, Friday, or I don't know when, before it, today or tomorrow. I kind of want to leave it just at that.
Yep. I will get this thing written up and
chant.
If you're still listening, chant or spread the word of the chant.
At least be on your feet. God damn. And we've talked. Sorry. I swore. You said it. And it, what you said a few episodes ago about the dog pound in the stadium just not being as crazy as we want it to be and what it is known to be. And the fact that when we put that on Twitter in the episode and a lot of people replied and said, yo, that's a good point and it's true. Guys, girls, come on.
Be a part of the change. Be a part of the change, baby.
All right. I'm fired up. And I'm not afraid of this team at all, the Cardinals. No one is in that locker room. No one in Cleveland is. They're 5-0. Bring it on. Let's go.
Hell yeah. Good night, Cleveland.
Good night, Cleveland.
Slinging the ball around. Oh yeah, it's Tim Couch. That man is jacked, and that's a fact. Hell of a quarterback. Oh yeah, it's Tim Couch. Listen up, everybody knows this is how the story goes.